Welcome to Christ Today. Let us worship Jesus Christ today, tomorrow, and forever. Heavenly Father, guide and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen. A fellow said to me last week, "You kind of talk about interesting stuff, but you know, if you changed the name of your broadcast, you'd probably get more people to listen." And I noticed that people do listen to the broadcast, but I wish more people would have contributions to it. Well, I do support the broadcast out of my Social Security, and God bless everyone who listens. There are things going on all around us in the world, and every one of us has income, expenses, and just plain old concerns about their own life and about society. As we see all the things going on around us, from the goodness to the fraud, and there is fraud and abuse, it is brought to our attention, and we have the opportunity to stand against it or to be quiet. Well, in America, there's so many people who just accept the way things are, and we have to stand up to become the righteousness of God. Otherwise, the rot will continue, and it is rot, just like food rots. It is significant and serious, and we do not want there to be rot in our life or rot in our country, but we can see the direction things are going, and we know that we have a choice to make as to how we deal with life as a country, as a society, and each one of us individually. Well, I'm just a history guy, really, and I see that America is at a tipping point. And are we going to stand on the one side of the ship called America, and will the ship be made upright, or will it go down? Good question. Well, let us all withstand on the side of righteousness and turn to God. Let America turn to God. Let each one of us turn to God and have a God-honoring life. We do want to have God say to us, "Good job, good and faithful servant." And we want ourself and our family and our people around us, the society and the country, to be preserved. So let's say, "Yes, Lord," and ask Him to preserve America. Well, each one of us want to stand up to be righteous and be born again, to live a life that we can say, "Yes, Lord." Well, there's everything going on around us. There's good stuff and bad stuff, and we have to choose how we are going to impact the people around us so that we can have a good and holy life. Let us choose wisely. And plenty of people do expect things to go well in a difficult way. And so are good times going to return to America? Well, let's be worthy of preserving so that God says our nation will be preserved. If there is corruption and rot everywhere, well, it would just continue, wouldn't it? And we don't want that. There has been great discussion about what's going on in the country, and oh, these days there is discussion about tariffs. And are tariffs good or bad? Well, there's an argument that when America was a young nation, oh, like in the year 1800, our government and all the programs were paid for by tariffs. There were no taxes. And at that time, in the year 1800, the tariffs were approximately 20% on what was imported. And no income tax. Isn't that great? Well, we get the idea that Trump would like to see this happen again in these days. So we get to just examine what is being discussed, what is being debated. Are the economists and the politicians having discussions, or do we just let the politicians make the decisions? It's going to be interesting, and we have to understand who we listen to. Can I even say, who do we belong to? Do we belong to God? And are we upholding what God says? Does God say that tariffs and taxes are good or not? Well, let's see. I think that the question about tariffs and taxes is addressed in Matthew 17:24. It's where there's a question of paying the temple tax. And there, let's see, verse 25 says, the tax is for foreigners, for strangers, and not to the children of the natives. So you see, taxes and tariffs are for foreigners and foreign goods. That it seems to be what the Bible says. Well, in about the year 1800, yeah, the taxes were about 20%. So are we going to try to reestablish that pattern? Taxes, tariffs. Well, we have had taxes in the past. Back in 1862, Lincoln imposed a 3% income tax on the very, very, very rich. So there were income taxes too, but they were temporary and relatively very small. But we have reinstated that income tax later on in the 21st century. And so there's a question of if it will continue. What is just and what does the Bible say? Well, many people will argue if a tax is good or not good. And today we are having these discussions about tariffs. Again, are they good or are they not good? Well, I'm glad we have that passage from Matthew about the temple tax, because that is an indicator of what is right to do. There is a question about what is a fair tax. And this is a question about what is fair. And there's a question about the cars, because the cars that go from America to Europe have a 10% tariff, and the cars going from Europe to America have a 2% tax. And this is something which we have to examine: what is fair, what is not fair. And that's something which is a matter of interpretation, isn't it? So who is going to interpret it? Who is going to decide what is fair? Will our Congress decide? Will Trump decide? Will the people decide? Well, we have things that need to be examined. And America needs to look after the interest of Americans. Some things are equal and some things are not. There is a matter of determining what is right for America or the world. Well, we have this great big question right now with tariffs and Trump. Well, there's other questions also. There's a question about the Federal Reserve and the policies that have been placed upon the American people for the last five or more years. There's the question of interest rates. And are those good for America or are those not good for America? It's a position that we can argue. What makes the most sense for Americans to do? Have a high interest rate or a low interest rate? And that is what the Federal Reserve determines. We do have questions about where our taxes go, what role banking and interest rates have, what it will do to our national debt. all these things are a big question, but we do have to remember the Federal Reserve is a private banking organization, and it is not federal. It is private. So what is their goal? What do they want? Probably what they want is money and a good income, because they're private. And we have to determine what is good for America. A part of what we do is we talk to our politicians, sometimes by a conversation, sometimes by a letter. But if we say nothing, then they are going to do what they want. There are lots of opinions for what is the best to do, and it depends on what group of people you're talking to. The financial people have one opinion. The manufacturing people have another opinion. The people with credit card debt have another opinion. Everybody has ideas, and we get to figure out what's going to happen, what will happen to our currency, to our money. Well, there have been decades of inflation, and a part of inflation means our money gets devalued. It's almost like it's a goal. In fact, it seems very much like devaluation is the goal of the Federal Reserve and the banks that are associated with it. And investors and regular common people are trying to figure out how we can preserve our assets. Yes, our money, and the banking system is a part of what we invest in, and so are assets. We have assets that we invest in. What are they? Sometimes they're a company. Sometimes it's corn futures or gold. All these things have an impact on what return we get for our money. And it's a big question. As I said, all the different groups have an interest in what they want to see happen. And we have to know what is going on so that we can make the best steps that we can to preserve our wealth. And that includes the generational wealth, not just the wealth of one person. How can we pass on a little bit to our children? I think there are a couple of points. We could have a cash-generating business. Those are always good as long as they're paid for in full. And we all make decisions. Individuals and families make a decision one way or the other. I think there's another part that is important when we look at generational wealth and generational health, and that is staying healthy enough to enjoy the benefits that wealth creates. So among the elite people, we know that you have to look into their writings to see this. It's not that it's just obvious for everybody, but if you look, you will see that the elite are encouraged to have healthy food and not use unhealthy drugs and unhealthy alcohol, not do vaccines or prescription drugs. And that's just a part of what is learned in their writings. Yeah, you don't see them often, but if you look, you will find the writings that support what I'm saying, that point of view. Well, we all have opinions, don't we? And we try to live a way that will be good and healthy for us and our family. And a part of what we do is we live by principles. Yes, godly principles. And then we watch blessings come from God. That's what I have observed in my examination of history. And we do want to understand that our God is everlasting and unchangeable, and the principles that he talks about will do us well if we live according to godly principles. So let's look at what will keep us close to God, or the opposite, what will separate us from God, and then let's live according to God's will so that we can have an eternity in that heavenly place. We choose, we make choices as we go through life, and we want to choose to be in that heavenly place with God. Well, God gave us free will, and so people choose. Sometimes it's God, and sometimes it's anything else. It might be our own free will that we choose, or it might be the things that are not good for us, the habits that will destroy our mind and our body. So let's look at the godly discussion of things and remember to follow the Bible. And I think the Psalms help us too. And the singing that we do, the church songs, they help us to understand what is good for us according to God. And then we have a good and godly future. The future, we can see both by the past and we can see it because of prophecy. We learn things from prophets and how to avoid trouble. It makes us aware of what the human condition is, and we want to stay holy and healthy. And a part of that is learning what God likes and what he does not like. We can learn from the ancient examples and life lessons, which we all can see in the people around us and even in our own life. We know that behavior has consequences, and so let us choose a good and holy life so that we have a wonderful life and eternity. Some people have all sorts of things going on. Again, that's a matter of choice with our free will. I think we want to pursue truth, and that's a part of what we do. There is a matter of choosing truth or corruption, and I just alluded to the rot that is going on in the people and the nation around us. And it goes on all the time, yes, in other countries, and yes, in the people around us. So let's look and avoid that bad rot and embrace the good holiness of God. There has been a lot of graft and corruption in every government around us. People learn that when there is money flowing, they can get some of it. And it's a part of what we want to do as a people, to support good and godly people and not the corruption that goes on where $1 million or $5 million or $50 million gets put into the campaign of a person who votes a certain way. There have been deals that have always been made going back hundreds of or thousands of years. If you do what somebody wants, they will give you a benefit. It might be a house, it might be money, and there are always consequences. Like, I'm thinking of King Ahab, how he wanted the field next to him. And that was Naboth's vineyard, and his wife Jezebel helped him to get that field next to him. And then there are consequences. You can look that up in the 1 Kings chapter 21. When we have corruption, we have consequences, and we want to have good consequences in our life and not the bad consequences. So read that Bible, understand what the choices are, and then the consequences. Study the matter out. Avoid pain. Live a good and godly life. We want the relationship with Jesus, and that is always good for what we want. A part of what we do is we can be a missionary to the people around us as we talk and tell them about Jesus. We might even be a missionary to a foreign country. We learn the truth of the Bible, and we talk about it to people. Of course, our world is full of everything good and everything bad, and we want to stay focused on Jesus, even in the midst of the challenges that go on. Every day has challenges, whether they're car problems or relationship issues. We see things going on, and the Bible tells us that even war and famine are going to come around. And so we can have a preparedness mindset so that we can survive the things that are coming. We get warning signs all around us. We get warning signs in the Bible. And we want to decide how we can protect ourselves from what is coming. I think of the Bible telling us that famine is coming at the end of the age. And now what do we hear? We hear news about the bee population. Half the bees have died, and half the bees are still living. And this will probably impact the crops that we are able to have, the food and grains that we eat. It's something which we have to be aware of so that we can do that preparedness thing. And if the Bible says famine is coming, let's have some food. If the Bible says war is coming, then let's recognize that we can do something to protect ourselves. Because war brings famine, pestilence, and conflict. So let's try to keep ourselves safe and have enough food to eat. Now, our Bible does tell us that these things are going to happen at the end of our age, and it's widely believed that we are right about at the end of the age. So get your thoughts in order and figure out what you can do to preserve your life and the life of the people around you when there is famine and war. We do have things we wonder about, and we can pray and ask God to guide us, ask God to show us, and we can read the warnings in the Bible, and we can understand how to get ready for whatever is coming. Part of what we look at is prophecy, and yes, the Bible tells us about what is coming. There is prophecy to warn us, and if we read the Bible and listen to wise people, we can take some preparedness steps to avoid what is described as coming. And again, war, rumors of war, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes. There's always something we can do. Does that mean it's a perfect thing to do? It might be, but it probably is not. And the simple things that we can do, well, you know what to do if there's a famine coming. We get some food that we can stock up on, and rice and beans are pretty normal. Rice and beans are also affordable. We also can get some garden seeds and some garden tools. Sometime we can find garden tools available at a yard sale, and that might be just the thing to help us to get prepared for what is coming. Is it famine? Oh yeah, it looks like it. And with this big, huge die-off of the bees, we could have a pretty big famine coming. Can we know it perfectly? No, but the Bible does say famine, so let's get a little prepared for if there was one. After all, if we were to eat just the wild foods, I think we would get pretty tired of dandelions and roots and acorns. Besides, there's not many calories in dandelions and roots and acorns. So, get a little storage so that you can survive whatever is coming. I do hear people say that, well, if a famine's coming, we're just going to pick roots and berries and acorns. Well, it takes a little bit to get the acorns ready to be flour, ready to be pounded into something that you can cook with. Part of it is you have to rinse out the acorns like twice a day for a week, or you have to leave the acorns in a stream where water flows by them. And then you have to peel them. You have to leave them in the sun so they dry out, and then you pound them into flour. And then it doesn't even taste so good. So you want to get sugar and flavorings and salt so that you can like to eat acorn flour. You might want to get some wheat so that you can make your own flour. And get some white rice and beans or noodles or lentils and make something out of it. Sure, bread, cookies. So you want to get some sugar and salt and oil. Everybody has their own ideas about what they can live on. So go ahead, have a look at it, and see what you think makes sense to you. But do get some supplies together. If the Bible says famine is coming, then do something to make sure that you can live through a time of famine and disruption and earthquakes. Yeah, when an earthquake comes, it disrupts the supply chain. It disrupts your being able to get to the store. There are just things going on. So, yeah, have a look at it and do what you can do to prepare. Even if it's the simplest things that you can do, like rice and beans, white rice and beans or lentils, sugar, salt, and oil. Well, we do wonder what the future holds. Will it be easy times or hard times? How about a little bit of both? That is kind of typical for what happens to humanity. A little bit of both good and not so good. But a lot of people, you know what they expect. They expect it's only going to be good, and then the rapture will come and take us out of here. So we won't have any pain, so we won't have any trouble. Well, there are two points of view to that one. We might be raptured, and then again, we might have some problems here on earth. And our Bible gives us indicators of what God does. It seems like in the Bible, God has his people go through trials and tribulations. But God does not leave his people in the midst of those trials and tribulations. So if you go through a trial and tribulation, be sure to have your life focused on God so that you can have a communication with God and that he will have a fellowship with you and the people of God. So all these things are good to keep in mind when trying times help, and you will help people and people will help you. That's what you will want to do with hard times. I know there's people who say, oh, if hard times comes, God will provide, just like he provided for people in the Bible. And I say, you mean people like Elijah? Well, I think of 1 Kings 17, verse 2, where Elijah was fed by the crows, by the ravens. And so we have to wonder, if we go through a time of famine, will God provide us with food brought by the ravens? Well, are we going to be obedient like Elijah? Are we going to live a life like Elijah? I can't say that. I can only ask you about what kind of thoughts you have for the life that you're going to live. Will it reflect obedience to God? Well, we all have different answers to what we expect and what we even are going to do. So look it out. Look and search out these questions. And it is always helpful to read and study the Bible. So I don't know. I think about the people who say the Bible is true or not true, and I guess you will have to look at that for yourself, or you can ask the fact checkers of Google. Yeah, okay. Ask them, what is truth and what is a lie? Well, the world that we live in has some really great big concerns all around us, and sometimes they distract us from our relation with God. So, yes, the Bible says famine and war. What else? Pestilence and earthquakes. So these are matters of life and death. What do you think you're going to do? And I don't mean I know, because we all have choices. We all have situations where we get to decide what to do and what not to do. How concerned are you with whatever is coming? You figure out how concerned you are, and that will guide you for what you're going to do to prepare for whatever will happen in these end days. Will there be violence and terrorism, or just plain hunger and shortages? There are always things we can do to get ready for something. But do we really know what? No, and we don't know what the leaders of our nation will do, or the leaders of another nation. Will they say, oh, the United States has some really good land. We want it for ourselves. So they send an army over to take the land. And that is not good for the people. Nowadays, there is conflict going on between nations, between the good and the evil, all over. And so we get to figure out what we can understand is going to happen. Will there be conflicts? Of course there will be conflicts. But you can see right now that there are lots of great big egos among the people of the world. And so, who is going to win in the arguments? And what will we the people have to put up with as the arguments get more and more complex and argumentative? What are we going to do? How are we going to be prepared for the end times that the Bible says is coming? And what are we going to do when we find out that we're faced with the situations brought about by the national leaders? Will there be violence and terrorism? Will there be wars and rumors of war? It looks like it's all coming our way. So, what will happen when a strong-headed national leader makes his will known? And what happens when there are two or three strong-headed leaders that have a great big ego and they don't want to yield their anything to another world leader? Well, you know what it is. Conflict happens, and it could be really big and serious conflict. And we get to figure out, what are we going to do when that happens? Are we going to prepare, or are we going to just let it happen and suffer with the conditions? Well, we're going to do both, but there's always something we can do to get ready. Regular people have always suffered when there have been conflicts with a country's leadership, when there have been wars and famines and shortages. Regular people always suffer. And that means that when we know that this is a normal occurrence, there is always something we can do. When our nation is suffering, there's something that we can do to make it easier for ourselves and our family. And I do think of what's going on right now in some of the other countries, especially China, when there is a conflict that is right on the edge of happening. And I noticed that in the last few years, China has bought up the world reserves of wheat, rice, and corn. And right now, of all the rice and wheat and corn in the world, China is said to have half of what the world has. It's almost like they are preparing for a shortage or a war. And with the conflicts going on, with the question of Taiwan, it's not a surprise to find that nations are preparing for war and that a war could easily happen. So, of course, a country would prepare by having a supply of wheat, rice, and corn, or gasoline, or copper, or steel. And those are all the things that China is stockpiling, as though they were getting prepared for a war. Now, there's some things that we can stockpile, too. And you get to look at what it would be if there was a shortage going on. Now, we cannot get the rare metals like cobalt and lithium and tungsten, but there are always some things we can do. So we can't get a storehouse of that, or steel, or copper, no. But we can get a few things. We can get food and medical supplies, or we can get things that we would need for the just in case. Well, the present conflict could really change our world. It could cause shortages of the things that we either need or use regularly. Especially, look at the pharmaceuticals. Those are, many of them, made in China. And the car parts and filters that we use are also very often made in China. And then they're shipped to the United States. And we get to figure out if we're going to need some of those things in the future. Now, Trump says that he wants all of these things made in America. And I think that we can do a pretty good job of making all the car parts and pharmaceuticals in America, but it'll probably take a few months or a few years to get to that point where America is actually producing all the things that we use. So, we might have a time of months or even years that we're going to have shortages. And yeah, I'm sure we'll get through it. But the thing is let's try to get through it comfortably. And that means have a supply of whatever it is that we would like to have on hand. In these times, which are uncertain, there is great uncertainty. And things are moving quite fast in the world, in the question of shortages or what we need. Look at the question of war. What's going on with USA and Russia and Iran and Israel and other countries as well? And with Taiwan, whatever China is going to do, all this makes a difference in the world, and we are faced with the uncertainties just like we are with Russia and Ukraine uncertainties. Domestic decisions are being made, and so are international decisions. And then we look at what is getting decided and what can we do to preserve our lives and the good life that we have. Now, we have China as a communist country, and so we know that things don't get spoken about in China like they do in the United States. China, you can look up information. You can search out the broadcasts that speak about the problems in China. But it's not something you're going to hear from a great big news outlet or the president of the United States. You just don't hear these things. But if you look and you listen, you can hear that there are troubles right now in China, big troubles. High up government officials and high up military people are being concerned that they don't want a war with Taiwan because they say that China is not equipped to fight a war over Taiwan against Taiwan, Japan, and the United States. The other thing that is said, if you listen to those channels, and there's several of them, is that the Chinese president, Xi Jinping, is not a wartime president. He is good for the peacetime for China, but not for if there is a war. And there are voices of opposition to Xi Jinping's leadership if there is a war over Taiwan. We don't hear that because the news doesn't tell us. But if you listen to the channels or the podcasts out of China, or now they're out of the United States too, but they're done by Chinese people who have a strong connection to the society and the upper level people in China. And they say that there is a great big division coming in China right now over the presidential leadership and the people, for instance, in the military that are saying they don't think that they can survive a war with Taiwan because it would be a war with Taiwan, United States, and Japan. So, there's a question. They don't feel, some of the military leadership in China does not feel like they can have a war yet. But there are so many conflicts brewing around the world that we're not even sure what the United States could survive, especially with the number of people who oppose the United States, especially Kim Jong-un in North Korea. And there is a few people who talk about the two satellites that go over the United States every day, and if there is an EMP weapon on them. The thing is we don't know. It is said that those two satellites owned by North Korea that are over the United States every day have observation and weather instruments on them. Whatever that means, all I know is that they could be potentially a very serious problem and could have an EMP weapon on board. So we get to try to figure it out. What are we going to be faced with as the people of the United States? Who should we trust? Who should we not trust? And how do we act because of it? It's something that we each get to decide, and we each get to prepare in ways that make sense to us. How do we learn the truth? And the truth is always a question. And if there is a war, truth does not seem to be spoken about. Everybody has a position. Everybody has a story to tell. And they tell it to the people so that they can manipulate the country or the people of that country. So we have things going on, yes, with what other countries are going to do militarily, with what Trump is going to do, with tariffs, with all sorts of things. We're trying to figure out what to do as factories close in China because the manufacturing has essentially dried up. There is a period of time in China for the last weeks and months where the factories are sending home their workers and nobody is making anything because they say, well, if the United States isn't going to buy them, what are we going to do with all the things we create? We have a change going on, and it's influenced by the governments, whether they're communist or capitalist or socialist. We have things going on that are pointing to troubles all around the world. Yes, sometimes we get a very clear picture of the troubles that are going on, but right now I just see troubles that could develop very quickly, and it makes me say, look out, let's be careful, because with so much uncertainty, anything can happen. Anything can happen with conflict, with war, or with terrorism. And there are secret terrorism cells in the United States. That's been discussed by Christopher Wray, the FBI director, last year. For a year, he's been talking about it to Congress, to Senate, and to the American people. So we know that there are things that could suddenly develop with a computer cyber war, with war on the ground, with just all sorts of terrorism that could take place right here in the United States of America by foreign secret groups, by, they call them cells, terrorist cells. And the ones that Iran has said that they would unleash trouble or terror right here in the United States. We have all these things going on, and we have the governments that don't tell the truth. We know that our own government sometimes has not told the truth, and we have evidence that China has completely misled people in the truth. And I've just talked about the population being a question. When the country of China talks about having a 1.4 billion population, but there are independent researchers who analyze this information from what is public of police surveillance and school enrollment and food consumption, and they say, no, China's population is not 1.4 billion. China's population is between 700 and 900 million. That's quite a difference. 700 to 900 million is not 1.4 billion. So we have a question of what do we believe and what are we to do about it? If we really know the answers, we would know them. But we also have to interpret what we understand is going on in the world, especially right now, because we see signs that this is the end of the age, and we get to figure out what it is we should be doing at the end of the age. I think the biggest thing we want to do is have that relationship with Jesus Christ. And knowing that Matthew chapter 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, all talk about the trouble that is going to come to the world at the end of the age, which, if it's not here right now, it's coming quickly. So let's try to have some supplies so that we can make it through a time of difficulty and we can speak about the good news of Jesus Christ. Changes can happen suddenly, because of the egos at the upper levels of government, or because of the military, because of bomb blasts. All sorts of things can make a sudden change in our life. Even the United States dollar is a question. If you look at the people who have faith in what the dollar will do, or who question the dollar's stability, it's a great big question. What happens if the dollar loses one-third of its purchasing power? And this is something that has been talked about for quite a while. It's a pattern. It's a trend, and we can see it. There's that Trends Journal with Salenti, and he talks about what is coming, economic downturn, collapse, and a U.S. society that demands entitlements when the government is broke, and therefore the citizens revolt. Now, this has been discussed many times. It's a human point of view, and it's a spiritual point of view when you look at the prophetic voices that have said, look out, this is coming. There is a pattern, and yes, it's spiritual, and yes, it's physical. Oh, and that reminds me, we should all be spiritually prepared and physically prepared for whatever is coming, because there are troubles coming. We know it because it's the end of the age and the Bible tells us what is coming, but we can also see it if we can look at the economic and the political situation that is around us. And yes, we want to live through a time of trouble. Yes, because we want to live, and also so that we can speak to people about the good news of Jesus Christ and how we can have eternal life in heaven forever. As we accept Jesus Christ and are born again, well, these are just basic things about life, eternal life, and about our physical life. So let's get through these days so that we can be of use to God and we can have a heavenly future. But there's still things that we might want to do on earth to get prepared for hard times. And of course, I think of the basics: water, food, and warmth. And then what else? There might be communication. There might be being a part of a community. There might be things that you want to have on hand, or whether it's anything, nail clippers and toothbrushes to hair what you need to stay clean, or first aid things. How about flashlights and pet food? How about car parts and radios? Well, whatever you think you're going to need, let's have a little plan and make things happen. History shows us that people who are prepared live a better life in difficult times. And of course, the difficulty that is our biggest concern is living into eternity in a heavenly place with Jesus. We do want to have physical comforts here on earth, but ever more important is that we make it to the time of our eternal judgment in that heavenly place. Maybe we want to have a few Bibles and a few hymnals that we can give to people, or of course that we can read and memorize for our own self. There are many things we can do, and let's do some of them according to what your concerns are. These days have so much busyness going on that we want to see what we can do to prepare for, yes, eternity, and yes, for life here on earth. Well, there are all sorts of broadcasts that you can listen to, not just this one. There are things that we can hear when people tell you what to do. There's prophetic ones that are good. There's practical ones that are good. And somehow, I hope you look at a few and try to figure out what it is that you want to do to be wise for what is coming. You can listen to any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. And you can always get a copy of my free preparedness page. It's a page that is going to remind you of things you might want to have on hand. And it takes a little plan, but these are ideas. So write me with a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll send that preparedness page back to you. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. God bless you.